It's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. AAA is predicting this to be the busiest 4th of July travel period on record. The TSA says it's planning to screen 32 million passengers through July 8th. Meanwhile, a very early sign of summer, the first Atlantic hurricane of the season. It's formed in June, says ABC meteorologist Dan Amarante.
This is the farthest east that a hurricane has formed in the tropical Atlantic in June on record. It's already undergoing some rapid strengthening, rapid intensification, which of course is a concern. And so I think we're really in for like a long season.
Hurricane Beryl is heading for the Southeast Caribbean. President Biden courted donors at fundraisers in New York and New Jersey Saturday after Thursday's debate. First Lady Jill Biden reportedly told donors, she told the president, "We're not going to let 90 minutes define the 4 years you've been president." First day of early voting in French parliamentary elections that could result in a far-right government taking power for the first time in more than 80 years. Beryl's turned into a hurricane. Right now, a Category 1 storm expected to gain strength as it heads towards the southeastern Caribbean and turn into a dangerous major storm. There was a vigil Saturday in Utica, New York. Honoring 13-year-old Nyamwe, fatally shot Friday by police, the state attorney general's office investigating the shooting. Police Chief Mark Williams said Saturday,
"I don't think any officer goes on the job hoping to shoot or intentionally try to shoot anybody. They're looking to be able to come home at the end of their shift like anybody else to their family."
Police then released body-worn camera footage of the incident. Mwe had been tackled to the ground after running from police and pointed a replica handgun at officers. And a former lab manager at Northeastern University in Boston was convicted of staging a hoax explosion at the school's campus, then lying to a federal agent about it. Jason Duhaime will be sentenced in October. He faces up to 15 years in prison. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife advocates are filing another legal challenge to Wisconsin's wolf management plan. Mike Moan reports.
A coalition announced the appeal this week, and it centers on how the management plan came together under the state DNR. A judge dismissed the original lawsuit earlier this spring. It accused an agency panel of breaking the rules for how it interacted with special interest groups tied to hunting. Melissa Smith, with Friends of the Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife, says by favoring certain voices, other wildlife groups are left behind.
It's quite egregious that the citizens of Wisconsin do not have any legal standing to challenge the rules in any decisions that's wildlife related.
The coalition says the judge's decision conflicts with principles under the public trust doctrine. The Department of Natural Resources says it cannot respond to pending litigation. This legal activity comes a few months after federal officials opted to keep the gray wolf on the endangered species list. State law requires a wolf hunt if the animal is delisted from federal protections, but the new management plan doesn't include a goal with specific numbers. Instead, the plan focuses on sustainability. Meanwhile, Smith says she wants state rules to be consistent.
If you look at the deer plan, our Wisconsin deer plan, it states plain as day that deer are held in the public trust. So it seems that it's pretty inconsistent when they decide something is held in the public trust and when something is not.
Hunting and farming groups contend the gray wolf population has grown too large, putting livestock at risk. But conservationists say these concerns are often overstated, that management efforts need to be rooted in science. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see tons of sunshine for your Sunday and light north winds as highs top out in the lower 70s. In the overnight, clear skies, light winds will continue with lows in the lower 50s. On Monday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower to middle 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And you, as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, before we get our guest on, I got a question for you, Haley. What's the difference between a CEO and a president and
executive director?
Executive director.
You know, that's a great question. I think we should ask our amazing Ho-Chunk friend and sister that we have on right now and every Wednesday, Arvina Martin.
Welcome, Arvina. Ho-wa.
Hello. Hanach hini karagiwi.
Ho-wa. Hey, karagi.
Yes.
How are you doing? It's great to see you. And it seems like I haven't seen you forever, but you've been on the show and I just happen not to be here. So again, I just want to say a big peeny geegee to you that for guest hosting in a good way. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it. Me and Haley had some good conversations.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you guys were doing so well. I was driving to the Yankees game and I was listening to it on YouTube, and I called in and you guys didn't even pick it up. It's just like, you guys were doing your thing. We don't need Robert. Oh, wow.
It helps when you have an amazing guest host such as Arvina.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shucks.
Well, a lot going on, and I don't know where do you want to dive into, but I'm excited. I'm not a big poll person because I feel like a big group of people like Gen Zs aren't polled. They don't have landlines. And I think, like we you and I have talked before, that, you know, polls and the mass media out there that's owned by billionaires and only by eight companies own 95% of the airwaves, they want to keep things close. So they get clicks and things like that. But even our friends at Fox News are saying that Biden's ahead, and I like to hear that, even if it's from Fox.
I mean, I am not sure which outlet or place did the polling, so I'm not sure what agency, or I don't even know what word to use for them, but I'm not sure the group that did the poll that they're citing, but you know, it does give me a little bit of a I take all the polls with a grain of salt. I mean, because of the reasons that you said, but you know, the closer we get, the more important those polls, or the more accurate I think they tend to be. You know, we're still really early in this presidential race, even though it seems like we've been doing this for years now. It's still really early, and there are a lot of people that are not quite yet paying attention. There's politics nerds like me that's been paying attention the whole time, but I have heard about, you know, that there are a lot of people that have been tuning Trump out for so long that they haven't had to pay attention to him and haven't had to be reminded of, you know, all of his faults. And so that people have been saying, you know, as we get closer and as Trump is covered more, and can you believe the idea of him being covered even more? Like, I feel like he's he's always going and doing something. That more people will pay attention and likely be turned off by his rhetoric and his ideas and, you know, just his manner. His manners, even. Gee.
He has no manners. And it's interesting, too. There was four elections, I think, that went nationally, and three of them that he anointed as people that he wanted in lost. And that's always good to hear. And that's a good indicator. And I like what you're saying, too, because I think you and I have talked about it, and you, Haley, might have talked about it, too, is that not everybody's junkies. People, when it comes to politics, like, I'm listening to shows, I'm reading the paper, people work, you know, go to school and have lives and aren't paying attention. And when they do, hopefully they'll be going, what in the... It's good. It's good over evil. You know, it's just like a real easy kind of pick.
Agreed. And I will also say that it appears that President Biden got a new endorsement today from Republican Adam Kinzinger. It's not surprising that he, in a sense, that because he was on the January 6th committee and, you know, did take a stand, but you know, there are a lot of Republicans that are probably secretly supporting Biden, but don't have the guts or the wherewithal to say it. And because he is not running for re-election, he has the kind of the freedom, in a sense. He doesn't have to be beholden to anybody other than his own conscience. And I think that that's very telling that, you know, he's voting, as he said, for democracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got a debate coming up, Arvina. Ooh. And I don't know if you're a big debate partier. I know the mother station here over the years has had watch parties for these debates. And this one's an early, early debate. And I like the fact that they're turning off mics when they're not talked to or asked questions, and that there's no audience in there. It's almost the old days of the Nixon-Kennedy debate there. All we need is a little black and white TV.
and one candidate wearing stage makeup and the other not.
And sweating profusely.
Yes. I am interested to see how this debate goes. I will be watching with some Dane County Democrats down at the Rigby in Madison. If you are nearby, come check it out at the Rigby. I mean, I think it's really... I don't know what to think about the fact that they basically have to go with like rules that you use for little kids, you know, like this is like, you know, it's like a debate, like a debate team, you know, that high school kids are doing and with no audience to feed off of, you know, it just says so much about, I mean, let's be real, one side of the equation and, you know, his tendency to go off the rails and to not abide by the rules set by the debate committee, you know, and it's absolutely wild to me that it's come to this. I, with everything that's happened, I still feel some sense of shock that mm-hmm. this is where we are. And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know it's so blatant, too, and that's what really, really shocks me is that they say what, listen to what they're saying, because that's what they're going to do. And we haven't even really talked about the 2025 manifesto for the Republicans if they win. And that's a whole show worth that we should maybe get into before the election, because that's telling you what they're exactly going to do, Arvina.
They're saying the quiet part out loud. And yeah, for any of you listeners who have not heard of Project 2025, it is a legit website. I believe it is hosted by the Heritage Foundation. If I'm wrong, correct me. But, you know, that... They're saying everything they want to do. I mean, that one of the first things I saw when I looked at that website was eliminating the U.S. Department of Education and eliminating Head Start. I mean, I think of all of our Native communities that have our youth that go through Head Start. I mean, talk about a non-controversial program. I mean, it's literally preschool.
Yeah. Well, hey, please. I know it's exasperating, and I appreciate you joining us in the Ho-Chunk show today and Exasperate Together. So, hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and our friend from Wisconsin. For all you Wisconsin people, we have representation for you. We'll be right back after this short break.
Eagle 1490 AM.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com or give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're back here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about, I guess, my biggest nightmare. But I have to ask you something, or I have to state something and have a response from you. I thought it was great when Biden came out in front of when he did the State of the Union address, and of course Republicans are saying that he's on drugs now, and that, you know, instead of Sleepy Joe, and now they're going the other way, saying that he's on drugs and Trump wants him to do a drug test and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I'll tell you, I take a little nap before the radio show, and I feel energized at 63 years old. And I can guarantee if I'm doing this, I'm going to need a nap, and I'll be energized when I'm 82 also.
Well, and this is, I mean, I feel like we're already getting to the point of the campaign where they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. Sleepy Joe didn't work, so now let's go hyperactive Joe. Like, I it's just, it's absurd, you know? And while Biden may be in his 80s, he is also very active. I mean, we see videos of him on his bike, and he's somebody that takes his fitness and his health seriously. And you can tell. And so, you know, to have someone who is in his 80s and it leads a healthy lifestyle, you know, it makes sense that he would be, you know, have energy. Like,
right.
It's, it, you, it renders me speechless, well, which is not great for a radio show, but
exactly. But, you know, and it's amazing that I feel like there's a lot of dog whistles going on, too. And especially when you talk about Biden's vice president, there's a lot of racism in that whole thing with the vice president. And is Joe Biden going to die? And then, you know, we got this BIPOC strong woman that's going to be president. Then what's going to happen to us?
I mean, there's racism and there's sexism all intertwined. Right. It's a lovely pot of intersectional hatred that our vice president faces. And, you know, she's been facing this her entire career, you know, so she's not new to it. And she's tough and she's very strong and she, you know, is absolutely capable. And, you know, they're even though when they were both running their presidential campaigns during the primary, you know, they clashed, but there was a reason that President Biden selected her. And mm-hmm. I think it's very clear why he selected her. She's someone who can, you know, talk to him and kind of maybe pull him into different areas policy-wise, because they don't agree on absolutely everything. She can hold him accountable. And she is absolutely capable of taking the reins, you know, should the unthinkable happen and, mm-hmm. you know, we lose the president, you know, she would be absolutely, you know, capable and ready to go as soon as it's time.
You know, I love history. And the last time a vice president took over for a president was Johnson when Kennedy was assassinated. And other than the Vietnam War, which, don't get me wrong, was a huge thing and stopped him from running for a second term after he finished Kennedy's time. But all the social projects that came out of the Johnson administration that we have now. So don't ever underestimate a vice president, I guess is what I'm saying. And Biden was a vice president, too. So, yeah, there you go, too.
Absolutely. He knows what the job takes and knows the very specific nature of that particular job. I can't think of another position that has those specific challenges that a vice president does. I think that she is going to be really great on the campaign trail too, because, you know, as history has shown us, you know, the vice presidential candidate, the running mate, is often seen as the attack dog. And she is in command of the facts, mm-hmm. although these days it seems facts seem to matter less and less to certain people. But, you know, she has command of the issues. She knows what she's talking about. And, you know, she is not going to take any crap.
And it seems like the Democrats have the best vice presidents, too. I mean, when I got done with my sentence, all of a sudden I thought of Dan Quayle. And I wanted,
Yeah, I remember I was a kid then, and I remember being like, I know how to spell potato.
Exactly. Well, I really believe it's so important to have you on Native Roots Radio, because the closer we get to the election, the more we have to talk about it, and mm-hmm. people just jumping in, you know, and listening and checking it out when they're able to. You know, when we're on, we get quite a few, we get 40,000-50,000 views when you're on YouTube and Facebook. And not to mention all over civic media in the Twin Cities here. And it's important because, like I said, a lot of people it isn't in their jam. It's not in the forefront. They're not junkies like you and I were, you know, I'm listening to Stephanie Miller in the morning and reading the paper and, you know, going to all these
TV news on all day while I do my political work.
Well, before I ask you a couple other questions and change it up a little bit, I want you to let people know out there in Wisconsin too, and especially Madison, where you guys are going to be for the. Can you say that again? Where you guys are going to be for the listing of the?
We will be downtown watching the debate at the Rigby, which is just off the Capitol Square.
Cool. I love Madison, and if I didn't live in the Twin Cities, I would be living in Madison.
It's
really
a pretty great
would.
Place.
It is. Hey, so there's a couple other things I want to touch base with you before we go. Yeah. It's like I had a friend whose daughter was at the Olympic swim trials, and I saw that you were there too.
Yes, it was a bucket list item for me because I don't think that I will ever be able to afford to go to the Olympics. So going to U.S. Olympic trials, it was in Indianapolis, which is just, you know, maybe 4 or 5 hours away from Madison. So we could drive and the tickets were not that pricey. It was at the Indiana Colts Stadium. So they built three pools to go into the football stadium, the Lucas Oil Stadium. And there was one of the nights that we were there, set the world record for most attendance at a swim event at over 22,000. It was amazing. I got to see a kid that I used to teach lessons to when he was just a little guy, and he got to swim in at trials. And I got to see the GOAT, Katie Ledecky, which was amazing. But I also got to meet a lot of Black and Brown folks that are getting involved into the sport of swimming. And I, you know, got to meet some of the first Black Olympians and in swimming and medalists. And it was really cool to see. And I got to talk to some people that work with getting kids of color into the pool and making sure that they know how to swim, keeping them safe, but also setting them up for, you know, a lifetime of liking aquatics sports and being healthy and learning how to, you know, move your body in particular ways for the sport of swimming. And it was really exciting to see that swimming is growing to be a lot more intersectional. And I can't wait till we have our first Indigenous gold medal winner. I don't know what event it would be in, but I look at the North American Indigenous Games and hope that we get some of those kids that come out of that program and end up, you know, on Team USA or Team Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got Billy Mills and Jim Thorpe, but few and far between. So we have to hope and pray that that happens. What else is going on in your world? I know it's powwow season, and we always like to talk about respect. Everyone can come to a powwow, but respect our boundaries and don't touch our hair.
Don't touch our hair. Don't touch our regalia. You know, for any folks that are in Wisconsin or the Oneida Nation powwow is going to be this weekend. There's also going to be presents from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And they're going to be having a special for Two-Spirit dancers and their supporters, which I think we need to see more of. And I'm really excited about that.
Well, Arvina, I just want to say a big peeny giggy. Thank you so, so much. We are always excited when you hit that okay button that you're going to be on the show. And we know it's going to be a great show. So thanks for leading us off in a good way.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to join you guys.
Right on. Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and our friend.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. AAA is predicting this to be the busiest 4th of July travel period on record. The TSA says it's planning to screen 32 million passengers through July 8th. Meanwhile, a very early sign of summer, the first Atlantic hurricane of the season. It's formed in June, says ABC meteorologist Dan Amarante.
This is the farthest east that a hurricane has formed in the tropical Atlantic in June on record. it's already undergoing some rapid strengthening, rapid intensification, which of course is a concern. And so I think we're really in for like a long season.
Hurricane Beryl is heading for the Southeast Caribbean. President Biden courted donors at fundraisers in New York and New Jersey Saturday after Thursday's debate. First Lady Jill Biden reportedly told donors, she told the president, "We're not going to let 90 minutes define the 4 years you've been president." First day of early voting in French parliamentary elections that could result in a far-right government taking power for the first time in more than 80 years.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing before a sellout at American Family Field, nearly half of them Cubs fans, as Chicago pulled off a 5-3 victory Saturday. The Cubs jumped out to an early lead with a single, then a two-run homer by Chicago's Michael Busch on just the first two pitches of the game. Brewers starter Tobias Myers.
I think a lot of it's just baseball. They were aggressive today. They know what I've been doing the last couple weeks is attacking with the four-seam, so I think they did a pretty good job of coming out and putting some good swings on some fastballs.
The crew battled back to a 3-3 tie until reliever Yoel Piamps gave up a walk and a home run to Ian Happ in the eighth. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You're in the major leagues and you're pitching at that time in the game. Walks are not a possibility. I mean, it's just not part of it. If you look at our pitching staff, a lot of our success, and it's been great this year, of not giving up free bases. The home run is the home run.
That's Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see tons of sunshine for your Sunday and light north winds as highs top out in the lower 70s. In the overnight, clear skies. Light winds will continue with lows in the lower 50s. On Monday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower to middle 70s.
It's 53 at our studios.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, yeah, lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis. Be sure to check out their Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday until October.
Hey, there's some other things going on too. Native American community clinic. You know how I get those two mixed up all the time, Haley.
Me too. Yeah, Native American Community Clinic. It's on the same avenue, Franklin Avenue there. They will be having, this is on the fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. NAC hosts a wellness breakfast for the community. It is a free, healthy breakfast and discussion on health and wellness. Everyone is welcome. This free breakfast takes place tomorrow at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, again, from 10 to 11 a.m.
Well, we talk about a lot of things here in Native Roots Radio, politics, artists, writers. I don't think we've had any magicians on, but I'm sure there's some. That'd be a good one to find. Yeah.
Like a trickster or something.
Oh, there's a lot of tricksters. There's a lot of tricksters out there. it's the magician we were wondering about. But yeah. But hey, we have a guest that I've known for a long time as a college student. And she's in the community, and you see her everywhere. And she's a great singer and musician, and her band's played in years past at the farmers market that we talk about. We got Jada Brown. Welcome, Jada.
Aneen, hi.
How's it going?
Thank you for having me on the show. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, we were Haley and I were quizzing each other before the show. It's like, mm-hmm. Have we ever had Jada on the show? And I said, I know that she's wanted to be on the show, and I've wanted to be on the show, but I don't think she's ever been on the show. So welcome. And this is your time to shine here on Native Roots Radio. And I know you got a lot of things going on musically, and maybe we can just talk a little bit about yourself and then what's dropping here soon.
Yeah. So my name is Jada Brown. I met Robert many years ago, and I remember he wanted me to come on the show and sing some tunes.
Yeah.
And it was a ukulele song. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, you're kind of, well, your audio is a little spotty there, Jada.
Yeah, Jada, you're breaking up a little bit.
A little bit? Okay. Let's see.
Now you're not. That's weird.
Oh, okay, let me get. No, I'm not.
Now you sound good.
Okay.
So you were saying that I wanted
I sound
you
good?
To sing.
Okay, we're good to go.
Yeah. I wanted you to sing a certain song. Was that from like
Yeah, it was Eulalie.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm from St. Michael, Minnesota. And then I grew up there. That's where most of my mom's side is from. And I moved to Minneapolis after high school. And I started going to Power Grounds and taking American Indian Studies classes in school because I don't know Ojibwe, and I wasn't really connected to my culture growing up. Mm-hmm. I'm just being mixed, and mm-hmm. maybe like that boarding school break. So I like going to the cities, moving to the cities really like connected me to a community again, to a Native community. And also singing around in the city, it's a big artist collective, and there's a lot of like community building and great things going on. So that's what ended me up in the city. I always kind of felt isolating out there and words that I like couldn't explain when I was younger. But my family did move to the city like after like the relocation. And so then I just ended up coming back to the city, and it's been really great the past few years, just connecting with so many musicians and activists and leaders. And yeah, so.
Well, you have you have a great voice, and I know you do your own stuff too, but you had like a cover band at Powwow Grounds a couple of years ago, and that was awesome. Your voice was really rocking in the group you were with, the people that you were jamming with. That was awesome.
Yeah, when I first started singing at Powwow Grounds, I met some members of Red Pony, Red Pony band with, it was Windy Downwind and Ellsworth. And so some of those band members have passed on, but I love lots of older music from the 60s and 70s. So I really liked playing with them and learning their stories of being on the road as young Native musicians back in their day in like the 60s and 70s. When the American Indian movement was like really upfront and taking place. So it's just a lot of great stories and hearing their journeys in music, and it's still going strong today. I think with social media, just being able to connect from so many different tribes and in Turtle Island, but even like across the world, like being able to come and share our stories and really gain, like Native musicians in the last few years have really gained a platform to bring their communities to visibility rather than what like mainstream media has always, you know, stereotypes or put an image on, you know, reservations and urban communities.
Yeah, good call there. So who are some of your heroes in the music world? Who do you like to listen to, and who do you like to, because I heard a really interesting comment about, what's that young girl that her and her brother played music? What's her name?
Billie Eilish?
Yeah, Billie Eilish was saying, you know, when she first started, she was, you know, kind of copying people until she found her own groove. And that really made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I have influences. I don't think anything, like in the U.S. culture, colonial society, it's always like, you made it by yourself. It's independent. And going back to our trapper roots, it's very collective. We don't get anywhere without others around us, without our family and relatives and friends and mentors. And so I do have inspirations musically. I was a big Amy Winehouse fan. Who fell to addiction and an overdose. And actually, as I'm talking about that right now, that's actually what my next EP that is coming out. I'm releasing the single tomorrow. Oh. It's called Speak, Sharing Personal Experience as Knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah. And so as I'm talking about that and talking about Amy Winehouse, who was a big, I was a big fan of, this next EP is actually about the opioid epidemic and remembering and honoring and celebrating our relatives. Because I think often there is a stigmatization and like a lot of rage and grief over fentanyl overdoses. And, you know, some of our relatives fall victim because they know they're actively using it. And a lot of other relatives fall victim too because they were slipped it. And so it's like you're filled with a lot of rage because it's like, who do we hold accountable? And just with bigger politics, with pharmaceuticals, you know, being the ones kind of got this opioid crisis kind of going and rolling throughout like the past 20 years. It's just, it affects so many communities and not only the Native community. And I don't think I know anyone who hasn't been affected by an overdose in their family.
Yeah, well, what's interesting too is what I like Minnesota here now, marijuana is legal. And because even fentanyl was being put in marijuana on the street. So, I mean, that's good that marijuana is legal, or I should say cannabis is legal in Minnesota, because then you know what you're getting and you can be safe. And it's the pharmaceutical company. It's been proven that has been destroying lives for 20 years just on fentanyl.
Yeah, and I think it's just another cycle that was put into our society, and that, you know, together we're gonna come out strong. And, you know, there's lots of organizations around the cities and all around the states that do Narcan training and bring awareness. And so I think we're doing like the most we can be doing, and but there's always more. And my first song is called Speak, and I wrote it, I have little notes, but it's kind of talking about the things that we go through in childhood. We all have different childhoods and have different experiences. And some of those experiences are more, have more hardship than others as children. And so when kids speak up, but sometimes they're not listened to in this colonial society, like kids are gaslit or shamed. And so if you carry that through the years, then we kind of go the rest of our lives kind of holding that in. So the Speak is really about, I have some lyrics that say, go on, daughter, and speak your heart and speak your mind, and you'll find that healing within when you start sharing your story.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Right on. Yeah, I agree. And I'm, you know, I'm an old person, Jada. And, you know, we were told pictures should be seen and not heard. Little children are pictures and they should be seen and not heard. And another one, too, that kind of really messed with me, too, is clean your plate. And that, you know, when you're not, I still eat food, even if I'm full, and that those kind of things really stay with you your whole life. So I agree with you on just my personal experience with that.
Yeah, that's wild. I've never heard of that saying, children are like pictures being seen, not heard. That's scary. Yeah. That yeah. is.
That's the 60s and 50s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, when you especially, I don't want to get too deep here, but there was a lot of things going on in the church and all these things. And so when you hear stuff like that, people are afraid to speak their truth, and your song's talking about speaking truth.
Yeah, it is. And I had the chance to perform and speak at Edison High School recently for their American Indian Heritage Month day. And that was a really cool experience because it brought me back to that point in time, and just seeing how the youth of today are able to learn their languages and in school, starting out as babies. And like, that's something that, you know, like my grandparents' generation could like never imagine, imagine, but like they didn't have that experience. And so having language revitalization come back and having like youth sharing their stories on social media, it's, you know, it's a powerful tool. And I think, you know, more power, empowerment to them.
Well, I'm glad you brought up too, because I'm a Johnny come lately when it comes to my culture too. And it's never too late to learn and be a part of the culture. And so it's really cool to hear that, Jada, that you've experienced that too.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's just meant so be when we go back and find and connect to our culture, because our ancestors are still like within us and down the line. And you know, not everyone in my family connects as strongly. So, but it's those stories of like not being able to, it's really reversing the shame that was placed in, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Jada, can you hold on another segment here? We gotta pay the bills. We gotta take a break here. Hey, we're here with Jada Brown, musician and all around groovy person. We're glad to have you on. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Hey, we are here with Jada Brown. I always want to say Downtown Jada Brown.
Right. Me too.
But it's
that's
great
kind
to
of my
have
name. It's from Downtown Julie Brown.
Right.
So I just, exactly. That name just got passed down.
Yeah. Naturally. It's awesome. And there's two things I want to get to right away is where can we hear your music? And then also we have one of our regulars that watches online wants you to say what SPEAK stands for again.
Okay. I'm glad people are listening. Thank you for tuning in. And thanks, Native Roots Radio. So where you can listen to my music, I'm on all streaming platforms, YouTube, if you look up Jada Brown. I have a Instagram, Downtown Jada Brown, and that's where you can see all my links, my link bio. It's like today's website. So Facebook, like Jada Brown, this is the image you'll see. my next shows I'm playing, July, the beginning of July, we have a string of shows. I'm in a few different creative projects as an artist. That's pretty common. So July 9th, I'm playing with my band Willows with Frank Buffalo Hyde at the Cedar Culture Center.
Wow.
Yeah, and his work is featured in Power Grounds right now in the art gallery. I'm sure you've seen it. Really cool work, like pop culture, like Native pop culture work. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. That's on the Outdoor Plaza at the Cedar Culture Center on July 9th at 6 p.m. And then July 11th, my cover band, and we do a little bit of originals. Mm-hmm. We're going to be playing at the NACD Open House at Power Grounds between 11:30 and 1:30 p.m. And it's Four Sisters Farmers Market that day too. So you got to come out to that if you're around.
Definitely will be there. And again, one of our great listeners, Santino, wants to know what SPEAK stands for again.
Yeah, so I wrote this song is a single off of the EP. It's a powerful song. I have my late boyfriend's recording in it of his words, and he really was talking about this childhood trauma and speaking and lifting our people up. And so I didn't know what to name the song. I was like, I don't know what to do. And then I heard SPEAK. One of the lyrics was SPEAK. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, there has to be an acronym to that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, let me see if there's any acronyms online. And one I saw was sharing personal experience as knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because our stories are valid, our histories, and you don't, in like the colonial world, like we have these titles, whether like academic or career titles, and that, you know, give you more leverage, but the knowledge you have is right within you. And mm-hmm. So I want people to feel empowered by their own stories.
Yeah, it's important, and it makes you who you are, your stories, and to tell them sometimes is really healing, whether it's through song or just talking to somebody.
Yeah, so I think I really think that acronym went well. Sharing personal experiences, knowledge to kick it off.
Right on. And that we can find on all the platforms, or is that on a specific one when it drops tomorrow?
That drops tomorrow, but it'll be out on everything. So if you're tuned into my socials, you'll see it.
Right on. And again, isn't that awesome? We got people being able to talk to us live here in the radio show.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. I hope it speaks to you too.
Right on. So what's the future? What's the goals? Is it just to keep creating and being around creative people and fill your soul in that way? Is that one of your main goals? And is that who you are, Jada?
I think that I'm always connected to music. It's a gift of mine, and hearing from mentors and elders about sharing your gifts. Like when you have a gift, and we all have a gift, is to share that with our relatives because it's medicine. And so I'm always going to be doing music in some capacity. I expect to perform until I'm old.
my age or older.
Yeah.
My age or older.
Yeah. Yep. Until I can't perform anymore. That's when I'm going. I'm actually seeing Smokey Robinson. He's one of my idols too. I'm going to New York this weekend to visit a friend and see Smokey Robinson. And I actually have a show lined up to my first show out of state.
Nice.
And in Manhattan. So with my friend Largemont, who's a hip hop artist from out there.
Well, surprisingly, you know, we live out in New York a part of the time, too. And surprisingly, there is a lot of natives that are in the city doing things. And that's good on you. And just got to throw this out there. Smokey was originally from Minneapolis.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that, yeah. Right?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And, you know, just look it up on Wikipedia because you don't have to take my word for it, you too. Well, what else you got, Jada, before we let you go? Again, we can hear Jada Brown's music. Just check it out, YouTube, your Instagram, Downtown Jada Brown, and also look for you on SoundCloud and all those other places, correct?
Yes, and Facebook. I have an artist page, Jada Brown. I just wanted to say miigwech and thank you to everyone who's supported me over the years for having me on the show. I wouldn't be where I'm at today with everyone's support and belief. And so it just means the world to me, and it will help me further my music career that I'm in endeavoring on. So,
well, we got to have you. I appreciate that. And we got to have you back on and play some of your music for people too. So that'll be important for us after you drop this. Now that we've given them the curiosity approach, we want to play the music for them, and we'll get you on in a couple weeks again.
Yes, I love it.
Right on. Hey, thanks a lot, Jada Brown. Really appreciate you coming on, and we got to do this more often, and you have a great spirit and you have a great voice too. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Robert and Haley. Right, and all the listeners.
Oh, and she said, go ahead, say all the listeners.
And said, hi, all the listeners. Keep tuning in to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, right on. We better grab that for one of our promos. Thanks, Jada.
Definitely. Thank you, Jada. Pini Gigi.
Right. Have a great day. Great night. Thanks again. Wow, Haley, great voice. Great community member, and Jada Brown rocks, and I can't wait to hear this. It's dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, and a great message too. I love the acronym for that, and really just great message. Every time I see Jada in community, no matter where it is, whether she's performing or we're at Powwow Grounds, she's just got such an amazing spirit. And I mean, really, everyone should come out for that open house at NACD where Jada Brown will be performing. It'll also be a Four Sisters Farmers Market Day, so that'll be fun. I believe, when is that, July 11th? I think that's what they...
Yeah, I think so. But we got... And Katie asked how we can hear her. Again, she has... Jada Brown has a... she's all over social media, so you can just Google her. Or I know she has some of the stuff too. If you have Instagram, Downtown Jada Brown. And so it's great that people are asking how to listen to her, but we're going to have her back on, and we're going to play some of the snippets of her song and then really get deep. Hey, and this has been a great show. And thanks, Haley. Thanks, Arvina Martin, our friend from Wisconsin, and another Ho-Chunk. And thank you, Haley. If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Mark Jacob will join us to critique how national media did in covering the first presidential debate.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Prominent Democrats have continued to voice their support of President Biden despite his debate performance on Thursday. Some in the party have called on him to step aside, but ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says
there's no way to replace Joe Biden unless Joe Biden himself decides it is.